Okay, last week we boiled everything down to one simple question. For my money, it's the most important question that's ever been asked. There are lots of people that agree with that. One simple question. The book that we're reading together, which I'm going to reference here in a little bit, the book of Mark, it all points towards this one simple question also. Mark tells stories about things that Jesus did. Mark tells stories about things that Jesus said, and it's all designed to push you, to make you at times uncomfortable, uneasy, until you have to come face to face with this one simple question. It's just simply the question, who is Jesus? This guy who did all these things, this guy who said all of these things, this guy who 2,000 years later people still worshiped, who is the most influential person who has ever lived, who is this guy? Who is Jesus? This week, same kind of thing. We're going to boil it all down to just a couple of questions. This one hits a little bit closer to home this morning. If you've never asked the question, who is Jesus, you probably have asked the question, who is that guy or who is that gal? Somebody that you've seen who has a level of peace that you wish that you had, but that you just don't seem to have. A level of courage that you want to have, but that you don't have. Somebody that's older than you, somebody that's younger than you appears. Somebody at work, somebody in your family, maybe somebody that you've just met once or twice that you have seen and you have said, who is that person? What makes that person tick? How does that marriage work that way? How does that relationship work in that way? How does that person have that kind of humility when they're that successful? How does that person have that kind of fortitude when things are going that poorly for them? At some point, you have probably asked the question, who is that guy? Who is that gal? And how did they end up that way? So this morning, simple question, everything's going to boil down to this. We're going to look at a few other things, but it's just this question. How do I become that guy? How do I become that gal? The most important question ever asked is simply the question, who is Jesus of Nazareth? Who is that man? But here's another really important one. How do I become one of those people that I look at and I just admire and I say, how are they that way? How do I become one of those people? This morning, we're going to look at a pretty simple story. That's pretty much all that we're going to do. It's the story that Jesus told. And in fact, Jesus says, look, if you don't get this story, it's going to be hard for you to get anything else. This is kind of where we start. You got to get this story. So this morning, we're going to go after that one story together, all pointed back towards that question. As we prepare to do that together, let's pray. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together. Thanks for the time that we've had in prayer. Thanks for the time that we have had singing. Lord, I hope that we've had a little bit of time getting to know some people or at least shaking a few hands this morning. God, we thank you for all of that. And now as we look at some scripture together, we look at a story that Jesus told a long time ago that he said is really important. God, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Lord, you know that I've prepared some words. I pray that you bring them to life. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, first things first, a few of you have asked me a question this morning. You have asked me how Charlie's soccer game went yesterday. If you weren't here last week, you need to know I'm moonlighting, in addition to being a pastor, being a soccer coach for a group of four-year-olds. Now, here's the thing. I appreciate you being curious how yesterday went. Okay, but look, it is inappropriate to keep score at four-year-old soccer games. It's inappropriate to keep score, and it's really inappropriate to keep a record. It's not right to do that. Were it right to do that, then I would tell you we won 10-6 yesterday, and we're 3-0 on the season, okay? So there's that. And you might say, well, how did that happen? Well, yesterday, to some degree, it happened because the Crocodiles only had 1 to 2 players on the field at any given time. That had something to do with it. But frankly, Coach Craig just got out coached. That's really what happened. That's really what happened yesterday. Here's the thing about coaching kids. You take a four-year-old and you put them right here. Sometimes literally, like hands on the shoulder, like right here. Because you know that's where they need to be. I don't even know a lot about soccer, but I know this is where this kid needs to be. And then you go to the next kid and you put that kid right here. And when you put this kid right here, this kid is now over there. And see, I know they can hear me because when we say snack time, I know they can hear me, right? But even though they hear me, they don't really hear me. You know what I'm talking about? Look, Jesus wraps up this parable this morning, and he says, here's the deal. If you have ears to hear this. And again, he says, if you don't really get this story that I'm telling you, if you don't really hear this story, then you're not going to get any of the other ones also. I'm going to show you a story that he told this morning. And as we go through it, see if you can really hear it. I mean, the surface level is pretty obvious. It's just right there. Anybody can get that. But can you hear what he's really saying? Can you hear what's underneath the surface a little bit? This morning, that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that we hear what's underneath the surface. Okay, so if you're reading along in the book of Mark, you read this on Thursday. So this is something that all of us in the church are reading together. If you have not started reading this, it's not too late to start. We're only 10 days in. We don't read, have new readings on Saturdays and Sundays. We're 2 weeks in, 10 days. You can catch up in 30 to 40 minutes, or you can just start reading two a day, or just jump in right where we are, and you can go back and read the first 2 weeks at the end. If you're not reading this yet, now is a good time to jump in. There are cards that look just like these. We're out of the books. We printed 3,000 copies. They're gone. You can get a card that looks just like this, and it'll tell you how to access it online, okay? So, but even if you're not reading so far, that's okay. You should be able to jump right in with what we read on Thursday. So Jesus tells this parable. Here's what a parable is. A parable is a story that is intended to be a word picture to go alongside some kind of core truth. So it comes from a Greek word that simply meant something like illustration or metaphor, something like that. And if you translate it literally, the Greek is to lay something beside something else. Isn't that beautiful? So this is what Jesus is doing. Here's a truth, something that I want you to understand, and I'm going to lay beside this truth a story to help you to understand it. You do this all the time. If you communicate at all, if you communicate on a platform or if you communicate just with individuals, you do this all the time. Here's what I want you to get, and now I'm going to tell you a story alongside of it to help you to really grasp that truth. That's what a parable is, something I'm going to lay alongside the truth that I want you to get. Here is one of Jesus' most famous parables and, according to Jesus, one of the most important ones. There's a little bit of setup and then the actual story itself. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat to sit in it out on the lake. People were rushing in on him. Not everybody could hear. He gets in a boat. It creates kind of a natural amphitheater. He sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, and this is what he did. He taught them many things by these parables. He didn't just impart a bunch of truth, he imparted truth by telling these stories. And in his teaching, he said, so this is one of the parables. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, okay? We're starting at the surface level, but always have those ears to hear what's underneath. A farmer goes out, he has some seeds, he's gonna go spread them out. As he was scattering the seed, some of the seed fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. So as he's throwing the seed, some of it lands on like a hard, compact piece of ground, like a path. And when the seed lands on it, it just bounces right off, or it sits on the surface, and since it doesn't go down into the soil, birds come and eat it up, and nothing ever grows. He keeps going. Some of it fell on rocky places. And the stuff that fell on the rocky places, this would happen. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. So they look good, but there's actually no root system. So once it got hot, they died away. Here's another kind. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and they choked the plants, so they didn't bear grain. So you've got some seed that fell in good soil and it grew up, but it was surrounded by thorns, And even though the plant grew, the thorns choked out the grain. They choked out the fruit. This is actually a tomato plant. So the tomato plant can grow, but it will never produce tomatoes because the thorns choke those out. So that's three. There's one more. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up. It grew and it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. So you end up with three kinds of soil that the seed falls on. The path, nothing ever happens. The rocky soil shoots up quick, dies quick. The thorns, plant grows fine, but it never produces any fruit. And then you got the good soil. The soil that not only produces the plant, but that fruit grows from 30, 60, 100 times. It starts with a small seed and it grows into a mighty plant that yields fruit. This concludes the parable, but then Jesus keeps talking. And he said this, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." He's saying there's more to this than just what's on the surface. Some of you have heard this parable before. Some of you are hearing it for the first time. Some of you remember what you've been taught before, and some of you are already reading between the lines a little bit and saying, I think I see some of what's underneath the surface. For the people who heard this for the first time, maybe some of them got it, but likely many of them are confused. We don't know what happens immediately after Jesus says this, but we do know what happens sometime later. Sometime later, when Jesus was alone, the 12 disciples that he's just called, just right before this, the 12 and others that were around him, so it's the 12 and some other people that stuck around, asked him about the parables, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, okay? There's something about this story that has to do with the kingdom of God. And that secret has been given to you 12 and to the others that are still here also. But, this is harsh, to those outside, everything is said in parables. So you can see there are two groups of people here. There are the people that get the secret. Not because they figure it out, but because Jesus gives it to them. There are the people that get it. And then there are the people on the outside that don't. And those on the outside, everything is said in parables because this is what happens, so that those people may be ever seeing but never perceiving. So they see it, but they don't really get it. And they may be ever hearing but not understanding. They hear my great story, but they just think it's about farming. They don't really understand. Otherwise, they might turn. And if they got it, be forgiven. This is harsh. This is not the kind of thing that we expect Jesus to say. And Jesus here is quoting the Old Testament, but it doesn't make it much better. He's still quoting it, and he's still saying it. There are people that get it, and I am going to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to them. And then there are people on the outside that don't get it. And the parables actually make it harder for them because they think that they've got it. Because they heard me, but they didn't really hear me. And then he wraps up with this. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? Don't you get this one? How then will you understand any other parable? If you don't get this one, how are you going to understand any of the others? And then with that small group of people, he unfolds those mysteries of the kingdom. The others that heard the parable, they don't get this. But he then tells this small group, I'm going to tell you what this is really about. Whether you have ears to really hear or not, I'm going to make sure that you get it. He says, here's the thing. The seed is the word. And the word here could mean a few things. I think likely what it means here is that it's the words that Jesus is speaking. It's Jesus' teaching. It's Jesus' revelation of the best way to live, the way the world works, the way that God works, the way that you work. The sower came and he threw out the seed. God, Jesus, is the sower, and the seed are his words. And some of those seeds, some of those words, they fall on the path and they bounce right off, or they never seep in, and the birds, they come and they eat it up before it bears any fruit, before the plant even grows. And he says, you know what this is? This is people who, when they hear my word, it never even begins to grow in them. And he says, the devil comes and the devil takes these seeds away before they can ever take root. And this is people who hear the good news, but for whatever reason, are completely shut off to it. And this may be you this morning. You've heard this stuff that you're hearing this morning before. You've heard it all your life. And maybe at times you believed it, but at times you didn't, and it just bounces right off and it doesn't bear any fruit at all. These are people who hear Jesus' words, but for whatever reason, it has no effect in their lives at all. You know, one of the things that Christians get a hard time for is being closed-minded. I actually think it's the exact opposite. Christians are open-minded. We're open to hearing that the world may be more mysterious than we think that it is. We're open to not only learning from the hard sciences of biology, physics, and chemistry, but we're also open to hearing from all kinds of soft sciences, including theology. But some people, it hits there, and it never goes anywhere. And then he says, look, and there are others. The seed falls on rocky soil. And what this is it's when people hear the words and they get excited about them. And they grow quickly. They grow rapidly. But for whatever reason, roots are never established. I go on the mission trip and I get super excited and I come home and I grow like crazy. I go see The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie. I go see Soul Surfer and I'm really excited. But I don't stick with it. And then when things get hard, I find out that I never really had any roots at all. And it begins to fall apart because I was excited. But that didn't translate into actually doing the things that Jesus said. I was just excited about the things that Jesus said. And then you've got seed that fell here. And he says, this is what this is about. This is about people who grew in their faith. Not only were they excited, but their faith really took root in their lives. But what also took root in their lives was the love of money and the love of prestige and the love of honor and the love of all kinds of other things. That yes, the love of God took root, but these things took root right next to that love of God. And you grew and it looks good and other people can admire it. But the thorns choke out the fruit. And because the love of money is as deeply rooted inside of you as the love for God, you may grow, but you'll never grow like this. And you'll never bear the 30 and the 60 and the 100 times fold fruit because there are other things competing for your love. You're not clear about what number one really is. And then you got people. And these people, they're the ones who are the good soil, this rich in nutrients, that's watered regularly. And these people not only grow and look good, but friends, you know these people. These are the people that we admire. Not only do they look good, but they actually bear fruit. Jesus says, and this is so brilliant, you wanna know how you're doing? You wanna know if a tree is healthy or not? You just look at the fruit. You just look at what's being produced. And those that are in the good soil, those that are the good soil, produce abundantly. And he says, those people, they do three things. They hear. So they hear the word. The seeds fall on them. But they also accept it. They allow those seeds to go deep down into their lives. They allow those words of Jesus's to go deep down into their lives. They begin to build their life around what Jesus said, not just being excited about it, but actually living it out. They allow those words to go deep down inside of them, and then they produce fruit. That is what these people look like. They hear, they receive, and then they produce fruit. That's what these people look like. And friends, again, when I'm reading this week, what I am just finding myself asking is, how do I make sure that I am one of these people and that I remain one of these people? How do I become the good soil? Because if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I am any one of these things. I think I'm probably all of these things. But let me just ask you this morning. I just want to push it back on you. Which of these four defines you the most? Is it that you hear the words and they make sense to you, but they don't actually affect your life? Is it that you go through seasons where you get really excited and then you're not excited, and then you're really excited and then you're not excited, and it's like the hills and the valleys? Is it like that? Is it that you really do love Jesus, but you love a lot of other stuff also? And Jesus is still competing for your affection. He's still competing for your attention. And you wonder why you don't bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You wonder why you don't have that self-control like other people do. And maybe it's because there are other things still competing for your heart. Or, nobody raise their hand, please. Are you here? Do you feel that abundance in your life? Because at some point in your life, if you're taking Jesus seriously, you do have the opportunity to experience that, to feel that. Where would you say you probably are right now? And how do you get here? Okay, all right. I'm gonna show you something that I had not seen until recently. I love this so much. That quote from the Old Testament, it has always disturbed me because it makes Jesus, it doesn't make Jesus sound good. It's always disturbed me. And then I've seen it different recently. You see, here Jesus is saying there are four kinds of people, but in that passage earlier, Jesus is essentially saying there are two people. There are those people that get the secrets, and then there are those people that are on the outside. So really, you've got one category here, and then all three of these are put into the same category, essentially. But do you remember what Jesus says? Do you remember who Jesus says it to? And do you remember why those people that Jesus spoke to were with him? You've got a group of people that don't get it and a group of people that do get it. What gets you in the right camp? What assures you that you're going to be on the right side of this? Is Jesus just picking and choosing? Is he saying, you get it, you get it, you don't get it, you don't? Is it that? Okay, look at this. We read this earlier. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them. Okay, you have two kinds of people here. You have the people that are around Jesus asking him about the parables, and you have the people on the outside. If we try not to super spiritualize this, if we try not to read too much into this, but we just, in this case, look at the surface, why are there some people that are getting it and some people that aren't? It's really simple. Why? Because some people stuck around after the crowds left and asked Jesus about the parables, and some people didn't. Who's in and who's out is not defined by Jesus. He doesn't pick and choose. Some people stuck around to hear, and some people went about their day. What's been sitting on me this week is, am I the kind of person who spends the kind of time with Jesus where he is able to open up truths to me that I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't stayed with him that extra 5 minutes, that extra 10 minutes, that extra 15 minutes? Am I one of the people who sits with him and asks him the questions, or am I one of those people that after the show is over just goes about my business on the outside and misses it? You see, Jesus throws the seed everywhere. Who does Jesus choose? Oh, don't miss this, friends. Who does Jesus choose? Jesus chooses everybody. He throws the seed everywhere. Some people are in a place to receive it, and some people aren't. And look, you want to end up here? You want to end up here. You spend time with Jesus, and you know what happens? Jesus starts breaking up that hard exterior. And he gets underneath that hard surface on the path, and he pulls up the good soil, and he plants himself in that. You feel like the seeds are just bouncing off. You stick around a little bit longer. You spend that time in your first 15. You spend that time with others. You spend that time serving. You spend time with Jesus, and that hard surface begins to break up. For some of us, we come to a point in our lives when we choose that. For others of us, we experience some kind of moment in our lives that throws us off of our rocker, and we all of a sudden find ourselves needing to allow him to break up that surface. Some of us just decide to do it. Some of us do it when we get the diagnosis, when we admit that we've got the addiction, when things completely fall apart. Be one of those people who decides to let him break that up. And then others of us, we get excited, but we lose that excitement. That excitement comes and goes. We spend time with Jesus, and you know what happens? He replants us. He puts us back on track. And then we have the discipline to not just be excited, but to let him water us daily. We spend time with Jesus. You know what he does? He begins to pull out of our lives those thorns that distract us. And who we really are underneath all of those other things that we love, who we really are underneath our struggles and who we really are underneath our vices, that begins to be revealed. And we may talk about this next week. I'm not that far, but I really want to talk about this next week. We'll see if that happens. He takes those things and he binds them up. And he throws those things out of our lives so that we not only look good, but so that we can bear fruit also. You see what he does? You see what he does? In that time that we spend with him, do you see what he does? He cultivates our lives. He's not only the farmer who throws out the seed, but he is the farmer who cultivates the soil. With everybody on the planet, he's throwing out the seeds, everybody. But for those of us who will allow him to, he will also be the farmer who will cultivate our minds, who will cultivate our hearts, who will cultivate our actions so that we can be that good soil. That is who Jesus is. See, you're not the one who cultivates the soil. Jesus cultivates, but you're not off the hook because we have to cooperate. Jesus cultivates the soil of your heart and he cultivates the soil of your mind. And the way that you cooperate is by sticking around and giving him that time, by not being the one who immediately jets after you've done what you need to do or who immediately jets after the show, but one who allows him to cultivate you. He cultivates, but we have to cooperate. And if we do, do you know what can happen? Jesus wraps up this section with a beautiful metaphor. He lays alongside a truth, a beautiful story. He says, look, this little mustard seed, it's the smallest of all the seeds, but it grows into a mighty tree, a tree larger than you could have ever expected could come out of this. No one would ever believe, unless they had seen it themselves, that inside of this seed holds the potential for a mighty tree. And Jesus says, your faith is like that. This much faith can yield something mighty. Jesus' faith yielded salvation for the world. Those people that you admire, that you look to, that you say, who is this guy? Who is this gal? Their faith that started small yielded those things that you so admire in their lives. And it started small, a little bit of faith. For you, friends, a little bit of faith can yield mighty things. What is it that God wants to yield in your life? What is it that he wants to produce in you for yourself and for others? What is it that he wants to do inside of you that you might believe today is impossible? What it starts with is allowing him to cultivate your heart and your mind, to cultivate your life, and then to allow that little seed that he is sowing into your life to grow into something mighty. God's dream for you is likely bigger than your dream for yourself. He cultivates, but we have to cooperate. So what is it, friends, that God's using a little bit of time in this book to do in your life? What could he do through a small group that you might join this week? That little step that you might take could end up producing incredible fruit. He says, if you don't get this one, you won't get the others. But also, if you get this, a lot of other stuff will fall into place. Next week, we're going to talk about something else that Jesus says in the book of Mark. And I can't wait to see what God unfolds in my life and in your life this week through that book. God, thanks for this time that we've had together. God, won't you be with us this week as we allow you to cultivate our lives, break up any hard ground, deepen our roots, tear out any thorns, and help us to be men and women who are thriving, not just for ourselves, but who are thriving and producing fruit that is good for others and that glorifies you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.